Okay. This is Jennifer, and this is the Dwelling Richly Bible Study. We've been going through Hebrews it's been how many months now? Since September. This is January, so you guys out there who are more awake than me or know your math faster than I do, January to September, 3, 4, 5. Anyway, whatever. We've been going through Hebrews since then. About one chapter every 2 weeks, taking a break here and there for Christmas and New Year. And right now we're in Hebrews chapter 8. We actually just finished chapter 8, but we are on a 3 week section of the study in between study days. Our live in-person Bible study meets on the second and fourth Mondays or Tuesdays at our church, but because of January 5th month, super moon, blue moon, blood moon, massive and crazy moon, by the way, on January 31st, getting ready to watch that. Anyway, because it's a 3 week break, it's a lot of days, and we all love that consistency of having something that we can do daily. And I know I do. And it turns out that the chapter I had scheduled for this 3 weeks time is the shortest chapter in Hebrews, only 13 verses. And so it gave us about 4 days to cover chapter 8. And then the remaining time we're taking to go back and review Hebrews, which is great because a lot of people are starting the Bible study brand new right now. And this will give you guys, all you new people, a chance to go back and just make sure you're caught up with us. And then those of you who've been here, done that, and you already have chapter 1 done, chapter 2, and so on, this will be hopefully a way for you to revisit. It can seem so long ago, I know, when we work through things. There's a lot of repeated themes in Hebrews that keep on coming up, but we did definitely miss a lot. Now, we're not going to go in depth in this review. Those of you who are just now joining us, you're going to miss things like resolving the mystery author of Hebrews, resolving the date, placement of when Hebrews was written. You're going to miss a lot of the background study of the significance of some important words in the Greek original. Hebrews is chock full of words that are unique to Hebrews. In other words, no other book of the Bible contains that particular word, a lot of them in Hebrews. So you're going to miss a lot, but you'll get a good overview. So what I'd encourage you to do is go back to chapter one, lesson one, and it's available on the website. Go back there and grab that, print that, look that, skim through that. If you are able to do that in tandem with us, it's a lot of material to cover because, like I said, we took 2 weeks to cover it, chapter one, and we're going to do chapter one in one day today, just now, right now in this one lesson. So anyway, go back and take a look at chapter one, lesson one. Lesson one and lesson two, by the way, are included on the church's website as one packet, so it'll be easy for you to do one and two together. All right, let's get started. We are in chapter 8, so that means we're continuing to memorize and review the memory verse from chapter 8. But let's open with prayer and get started. I'm really glad you're here. If you haven't already said hi and checked in, I say that every week, and you people still don't do that. You need to say hi. Like, just click and say hi. Hello, I'm here. If you're on Facebook, super easy to do. Hit the heart button, hit the like button, hit smiley face, whatever, and then say hi. Where are you? What are you doing? What are you up to? Oh, and I have a question for you today. We all have our favorite Bible translation that we've, maybe a Bible that we've had forever and ever, we love going back to. What Bible translation are you using today? Today I'm using my English ESV study Bible. Oh, my big one. So I have quite a few that I like. I generally use the ESV, but what are you guys using today? New American Standard, New King James, Old King James, NIV. What Bible are you using today and why? Why do you have that one? I have mine out today because, honestly, because my other Bible is in my bag right now. And this one has some, you know, great study notes, and I'm going to start getting ready for I was going to get ready for chapter 9 today, but I've got a workshop I'm teaching tonight, and I still need to do some work on that. So I'll probably spend most of my day today working on the workshop, And by the way, there's still some availability. We are really full, but I think I can get one more person in tonight. This is a writing workshop that I'm doing at church, free, and it's called Your Story, God's Glory. It's an opportunity for you to gather your thoughts together, learn how to write better, learn how to communicate better. I've been a writing teacher for almost 30 years now. I've written and published, well, not self-published, but actually a publisher has asked me to write, and their book was published. Two books for teachers on how to write and encouraging teachers to teach better. And I write a blog, and I write a lot for this Bible study. Of course, I write a lot, and I love more than that, though. I love teaching people how to write. I've been a teacher for since 1988, and so I love teaching people, kids, grown-ups, and everybody in between, how to write. And so tonight, it's free. It's at our church. It's at 6:30. You're welcome to come. You do need to register and sign up online. It's at lmccwomen.eventbrite.com. I'll go ahead and put the notes to that in the podcast and all that stuff. By the time you listen to this, it might be over, but maybe not. And then I'm also doing a repeat of that exact same workshop tomorrow morning. That's Tuesday, January 30th. At 9:30 at same place, same time. Well, not same time, same place, La Mirada Christian Church. Great stuff happening. Oh, also don't forget that the Refresh Women's Mini Retreat is coming this Saturday, and that will be from 9 to 4 p.m. It's $20. It covers the entire day. You get two meals, you get three workshops, and you get a ton of fellowship, plus worship and time for prayer, reflection. We even have some massage chairs there, so you can sit down during your break and be relaxed and enjoy a massage. All right. So great stuff. Go to lmccwomen.eventbrite.com. I will put the link to our Eventbrite page in the show notes and make sure that you know how to do that. Make sure you're subscribed to us on Facebook, on YouTube, on Instagram. Follow my blog, jenniferrichmond.blogspot.com. Almost ready to move over to my cool new WordPress site, but that's coming later, jennifergrichmond.com. Anyway, you ready? Let's get started. We'll pray, we'll write our verse, and we'll dive into chapter one. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, come before us right now. We come before you right now and ask that you would go before us. Go before us in this word and encircle this time with your love, your wisdom and understanding. Help us to read your word with fresh eyes, those of us who are coming to it, having read it before, especially that we would not just reread and be exhausted by your word or think of it as something we already know. Help us to see and understand you in a new way, an important way, to see things that we may have missed before. But most importantly, Father, that our lives would be aligned to your will, what you would desire for us. Help us to submit fully to you today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's do this. We're going to begin with Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6, just to go over that's Hebrews 1. We want Hebrews 8 because we're going to do our memory verse together. So let's do that. Hebrews 8. There we go. Handy dandy website. This is Bible Gateway. In case you missed that, it's up there at the top. And so our memory verse is verse 6. But as it is, Christ has obtained a ministry that is as much better, that is as much more excellent than the old, as the covenant he mediates is better, since it is enacted on better promises. So let's go ahead and write that and get that started. But as it is, Christ has obtained my wiggly table. But as it is, Christ has obtained a ministry that is as much more excellent, a ministry that is as much more excellent than the old, as the covenant he mediates is better. Why? Since it is enacted on better promises. Since it is enacted on better promises. All right. How are you doing on that verse? I'm getting closer. I usually need to spend time after we do the study together to really make sure I'm getting it. And sometimes I don't go back and do that. But let's go ahead and get over to Hebrews 1, since that's where we're going to be moving into today. You'll notice at the top of your lesson, and let me show that to you actually also. You'll notice at the top of your lesson that I provided a space for you to not only write the verse, but immediately following that, a suggested prayer. This is a prayer based on my thoughts and my focus on the day that I wrote the study for you. And sometimes I know people have said they don't know what to pray or how to pray. So maybe that'll help you. That'll just give you something that you can read and incorporate that into your prayer life as well. All right. So we're going to begin the study with the reading of chapter 1. This is how we begin every single week of study or when we begin a new chapter. And so we're going to do that today. So let's go ahead over to Hebrews 1. And we'll read through that. Again, I'll be reading out of the ESV. Follow along in whatever translation you're using. Don't forget, today's the day to tell me what translation you're using. So write that into your notes. Don't just tell me what translation you're using. Tell me, like, what translation it is, ESV, NIV, and all that. But is it a study Bible? Is it a wide margin? Was it a gift from a family member or a friend? And just maybe a little, tell me a little bit about your Bible today. I want to know. Here we go. Let's read Hebrews 1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. That phrase should sound a little familiar to you in its wording, as it is echoed again in Hebrews 8:6 about the covenant being better. The one that he's mediating is better because it's enacted on better promises. For to which of the angels, he's talking about angels and Jesus being better than the angels here, for which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? Or again, I will be to him a father and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. Of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds and ministers a flame of fire. But of the son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. And you, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment, like a robe. You will roll them up. Like a garment, they will be changed, but you are the same. Your years will have no end. And to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? So here we go. Hebrews chapter 1. How has God revealed himself over time? Well, the scripture was clear on that here. Long ago, many times, in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. That's how he's revealed to us over time. To our fathers, this would be a reference to all the people in Jewish history that God spoke to and using prophets to speak to them. Okay? So how would a son's words have more weight than the prophets? Well, this, we can go back and look, of course, but let's go ahead and think about that just in a general sense. How would a son's words have more weight than a prophet's, especially the Son of God, of course, here? Well, he's the only begotten Son of God, and he is the Word, literally, that was delivered to the prophets. If you remember, multiple verses, but probably the one that you should, I'm hoping, will cling on to most, only because we've covered it so many times, is John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, speaking of Jesus, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. So this is Jesus. So how was the Son's words have more weight than the prophets? Well, the prophets were given the words that Jesus was and that Jesus gave. What has been and is the role of angels? Let's take a look back at that, because it does say the angels worship him. We see that here. Look for verbs. Look for things that angels do and are. Of the angels, he says, he makes angels his winds and his ministers a flame of fire. So there's a metaphor describing angels as the wind. Wind in Hebrew is also breath. And so we can think of that as the breath of God. He makes his angels like the breath of God. Ministers, a flame of fire. So this is, fire would be a sign of judgment. And so he's winds that come along and spread and bring, like a wind whips up dust. And in that dust are the seeds, and the seeds are spread around and brought. You can have seeds travel across continents as a result of the wind, right? Well, he makes angels win. So he's using angels to deliver the messages, and he's ministers a flame of fire. So his ministers, these angels, are a flame of fire. Fire reminds us of judgment. So his angels are judges as well, judging or handing out God's judgments, I should say. So how is Jesus better than Israel's fathers, the prophets, and the angels? So this will be for you to write down, and because it wasn't explicitly said in this passage, although we'll go back to get some hints at that in a minute. You think right now, how is Jesus better, what you know about Jesus, than the fathers? This would be Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, the patriarchs, Levi, Dan, Gad, Reuben, Simeon, Joshua, and all those guys. And then those who came after them, Moses, Levi, and so on. Israel's prophets. And, excuse me, much of the Old Testament books, many of the books there are named after prophets. So if you're not sure about the prophets, go to the Old Testament and just open it. And most of the books that have a name after them are written by prophets. Now, Ruth wasn't written by a prophet. Ruth was... Well, we actually don't know who the author of Ruth was. But anyway, Esther and Ruth weren't named after prophets, I should say. But there's some theories on that. That's another study for another day. And then angels. How is Jesus better? Well, let's go back and take a look at Hebrews 1 and be reminded. Your throne, O God, is forever, speaking of the Son. So how is he better than the fathers? Are any of their thrones forever? King David? Right? Not forever. The scepter of a righteousness is a scepter of your kingdom. In other words, the ultimate standard for righteousness, the scepter of uprightness is a scepter of your kingdom. The ultimate standard of righteousness and uprightness is your kingdom. That's better than fathers, prophets, and angels. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. And speaking of fathers, if you want to list the kings among them, even the fathers and the prophets among them, they did not all show a true love of righteousness and a true hatred of wickedness, because they were sinful, right? They succumbed to unrighteousness and they embraced wickedness. Let's see. He's been anointed by God himself. Everybody else on earth is anointed by a man. And he laid the foundation of the earth. The heavens are the works of his hands. No father, no prophet, no angel created the heavens. They are all created. They will perish. You will remain. I'm not going to say that angels are going to perish, but in the sense of an earthly mortal life, we all perish. We are all immortal in the sense that God has given us eternity. But we have a mortal life, an earthly life, and we will perish. So Jesus lives forever and is not mortal in that sense. So, and to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? This is Psalm 110, really important psalm. It's quoted again in Hebrews. So these are some of the ways that Jesus is better than fathers, prophets, and angels. All right. What role does the Son have in doing the Father's will according to these verses? We kind of touched on that just now. Let's go back and take a look at that. What role does he have? The doing of the will of the Father, of course, laying the foundations of the earth, loving uprightness, hating wickedness, being worshipped by the angels, and being begotten by God himself. That's a difficult concept, I understand. We can talk about that another day. This is a really good one for Bible study that comes up in a couple other passages, including the study through the Gospel of John, but not for today. But underline that word if that brings you some questions, and maybe do some understanding and digging on your own to see if you can understand better what that means, that Jesus was begotten. Because the confusion comes when people think, oh, then that means he had a beginning, because wasn't I begotten and I have a beginning? So if he's begotten, he must have a beginning. And that's not exactly what it means. But I can see why it would be confusing. All right. A water break there. All right. Let's see. Number six. How would you respond to a skeptical friend or acquaintance who said, if God is real, why doesn't he give us a sign that he's out there? Have you ever heard that before? Have you ever thought that before? Have you ever thought, yeah, couldn't he just, like, write, I love you in stars? So at nighttime we'd see it, I love you, signed God, you know. Couldn't he do something miraculous? I mean, humans carved Mount Rushmore into the side of a mountain. Couldn't God carve his image or Jesus or a word to us? Sure, he could, all of the above, but hasn't he already made himself visible? And what's the challenge with making yourself blatantly apparent? People still deny you. He has made himself blatantly apparent. He has written on walls before, turns out. He has spoken. He's spoken at the baptism of Jesus, his son. This is my son. An audible voice was heard, and many witnesses testified to that. This is my son, whom I am well pleased. You read news and you read history and you believe those things happened in history because it was recorded and supported by multiple witnesses. Books of the Bible are recorded history supported by multiple witnesses. So how would you respond to a skeptical friend or acquaintance who said, if God is real, why doesn't he give us a sign that he's out there? I would respond in this way. Number one, if God gave you a sign, would you believe that he was real? If they say, meh, and some people have, if God gave you a sign, if God wrote on the wall, hey, your name, I'm real, signed God, would you believe it? Or would you remain skeptical? And if they're honest, they'll give you their answer. Some people are honest enough to say, actually, I don't think I would. I'd still doubt it. Okay, that's honest. So stop asking that question. You need to ask different questions. Why are you assuming that he hasn't given a sign? Why are you going there? Tell me what you mean by a sign. And why are you assuming that he hasn't given a sign? If God is real, why doesn't he give us a sign? What kind of sign would you like? And then I would list several that he's given. So then that'll lead the conversation along the lines of, they don't believe that what's recorded in history is accurate or true or worthy of belief. So that's a whole other conversation. But just ask people a question in return. If God is real, why doesn't he give us a sign that he's out here? Would you believe if he did give a sign? Ask that. Next, ask, why are you assuming that no sign has been given? And then you might even read Romans with them. Romans, it says that what is apparent about God is clearly visible in the universe. In nature, we can see that there's a design, which means there's a designer. All right. Those are some simple ways to approach that. I'd be curious to hear about yours. So go ahead and answer. If you're watching on YouTube right now, just leave a comment and ask a question. How would you answer that? Let me hear from my YouTube people today. Same for you, Facebook and podcast people. So here we go. We're going to summarize the key points of this chapter. I want you to feel like you can leave today having a set in your brain of what is Hebrews chapter 1 saying? Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 1. And I'm kind of when I do these Bible studies with you, I weigh the challenge of knowing that I'm just talking right now to the video and I'm not getting response immediately back from you. We're not in a room. You're not sitting around this table with me. And we're not really engaging face to face in real time. I weigh that with how I would do it and how I would if we were all together. I wouldn't just ask a question and then just deliver answers to you. I would ask a question. We would all engage and then we'd share our thoughts together. It'd be great. But we don't have that because this is not in real time, except for my Facebook Live people. Even that is delayed a bit. Anyway, so I struggle with how much of my thoughts on this, I want to give because I really genuinely want to hear from you. Like, I want to read your answers. I want to know what you think. This isn't me writing a Bible study because I know everything. That's not me. This isn't me teaching this Bible study because I got this all figured out. I know all the answers. Not me either. This is just because God's called me to do this, and it's a way for me to be more disciplined in my personal study time to dig into the Word and write it. But I really enjoy what you guys think also. So I'm stalling. Can you tell I'm stalling? Because I'd like you to write down your thoughts here. All right. Summarize. How would you summarize chapter 1? Let's go to the beginning and the end. Long ago, many times in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, He spoke to us by His Son. That sets up the whole book, but it really sets up, chapter 1. All right. Then He talks about angels. Jesus is better than the angels, and here's how. And then He wraps up with the role of Jesus, and again, reminding us the superiority of Jesus over angels as the conclusion. So in summary, I would say that Hebrews chapter 1 launches the content of the entire book, that Jesus is superior to anything and everything that you could possibly lift up in your own heart, mind, or life. Your religious life, your secular life, or whatever. Jesus is better than everything. And so we need to respond in kind. We need to go, oh, wow, if He's better than angels, I better not be putting too much stock in angels over Jesus. And then also in summary, because the author begins with how God spoke. So I would summarize it also by saying God has spoken. God desires relationship. And this is evident in the fact that He spoke to our fathers through the prophets, that He's sent angels to deliver the message as well. And then ultimately His own Son. So hopefully that gives you some thinking points for the main point of Hebrews 1. All right. What truth touched your heart in this chapter? I kind of alluded to that just now when I gave you my personal summary, but I'd like to hear yours. So I'm going to take a sip of water and let you people out there think about it. What truth touched your heart in this? Pausing there. Take a minute to think about it. You'll notice the way I try to ask questions in this study deliberately. This is me trying to engage with myself, with you, in specific ways. And some ways you'll find they flow naturally for you on any given day, and other days they find like that does not feel natural to me. The way I want to engage is I want to engage your mind. I want you to know the facts of things. I want you to think critically. I want you to imagine with your brain out into the future, like how you would use this to engage. But I want you to engage your heart, your feeling, your emotions, to touch who you are inside, and have that moment of, oh, yeah, you know, I get it. So that's the heart part. So what I've tried to do in this study is give that balance of heart and mind, not balance necessarily, but teeter tottering throughout the study of heart and mind of how we move through the study. A lot of mind, because it's a lot of words and there's a lot of truth and there's a lot of things we want to understand. But I hope I've also shared my own heart. I hope you've seen that in the study and how this study has impacted my life in a very personal way. Of course, the study I just shared with you in our previous day, I really shared my heart and how Hebrews kind of culminated quite a lengthy season of my life of a spiritual journey. I shared that in the previous lesson. So hopefully you've written out now. How was your faith challenged? I'm supposed to say or. How was your faith challenged or encouraged? See, spell check doesn't catch those types of things because it is spelled correctly. It just shouldn't be of, it should be or. How was your faith challenged or encouraged by your understanding of this passage? What challenges you? What encourages you? And so one of the reasons why I ask this question is knowing what you know, having the faith that you have, adding what you've learned in this chapter, how does that support your faith? How does it rattle it a little bit, challenge you in any way? You might feel a prompting in the Holy Spirit to share your faith more boldly, and that might rattle it a little bit. That might challenge you to think about that. You might feel more emboldened as a result. You might feel encouraged to share You might personally feel encouraged because what you've learned and understood. So I'd like to hear from you. How was your faith challenged or encouraged by your understanding of this passage? All right. So we will be going right in review. Yes, I forgot. I forgot I added this in. This is the write and review portion. So in this section here, we're going to go back to Hebrews chapter 1, and we are going to review verse 3. I believe that's what I said, right? Verse 3? Yeah. This was the memory verse that we had. Yay! I kind of forgot that I put that in at the end of the lesson. Hebrews 1:3. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. Write that down. He is the radiance. Do you still have it memorized? Of the glory. I don't know, about 70% on it. Of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. After? No. He upholds the universe, that's right. He upholds the universe by the word of his power, right? Yay! Getting there. After making purification, I kind of made the box a little thin. I need space. I didn't plan it well. You can use the space below it. After making purification for sins. Purification for sins. He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. There we go. Hebrews 1:3. That's a review of the verse that we memorized back in Hebrews lesson 1. All right, so tomorrow, our next lesson will be chapter 2. If you have time today, this would be a great day for you to... Let me open this up here. This would be a great day for you to go back to lesson 1 in its entirety and really get into that. So I don't know if you're doing this Bible study first thing in the morning for you, late at night, whatever. But if you have time, do this lesson and then go back to lesson 1. If you don't have the original lesson because you're just now joining us, you can find those online, lamradachurch.com, Women's Ministry Bible Study page. Find those there. All right. Look forward to being with you tomorrow. Do not forget to share this. Just click the share button. If you're on YouTube, click the share button. If you're on podcast, click and share. And if you're on Facebook, click and share. It is so easy to share. And it really helps to get the word out and let people know that this is a great study to join. It's a great study, right? I like it. I have fun with you. I'm glad you're here. So click and share. Tell people what you learned today, why you're enjoying this study. And I'm probably going to see quite a few of you tonight at the writing workshop. I look forward to that. Please make sure you've signed in. Let us know that you're listening today so I can pray for you by name. Know that you are loved and prayed for. And I look forward to being with you again tomorrow. Until then, bye-bye for now.